News Network. He's not Rush. He's not Sean. He's Dan. Dan Newman. And as usual, he's got the inside scoop on what's really happening in D.C. and everywhere else in the U.S. and the world. TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan.
That's the absolute truth, folks. We have our pulse on what's important to you, not just domestically, but if it's from overseas and it pertains to us here in the United States, we're on top of that as well. Well, we had that debate earlier in the week, and we told you that we were going to bring you the step-by-step, blow-by-blow, and we will, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to move it one day ahead. In other words, put it on Sunday, tomorrow, and we'll do it in bullet point format, because if we don't do that, it'll bore you to death. Today, something more important. It's about Adam Shifty Schiff and all of his Schiffisms. The title today. And you just thought Adam Schiff was evil. There's one thing you know for sure. If you're a regular here at Truth News Network, you already know our stance regarding Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California. Not because he's a Democrat, not because he's from California, and not because he's a congressional heavyweight either. Our opposition to Mr. Schiff is because of his dishonesty, his mischaracterizations of the law, his disdain for every American who disagrees with him, and his eagerness to twist the law and continued efforts to use it to defend his own personal political positions. His February 21st op-ed in the Los Angeles Times confirms our animus for Mr. Schiff. There is no better way to illustrate our concerns than to let all read Mr. Schiff's own words on President Trump. Here's his letter, verbatim, from the LA Times. It starts like this. The impeachment trial of President Trump has ended, but the threat to our democracy continues. In the short time since the trial concluded, the president has proven that the House manager's warning to senators that he will never change was exactly correct. President Trump's actions demonstrate the need to develop and pass legislative reforms to safeguard the checks and balances of our democracy. Building new guardrails to defend against authoritarian-minded presidents must now be a top priority for Congress. Within days of the Senate vote, Trump began to exact revenge against officials who complied with lawful subpoenas and told the truth to Congress. He had a security escort remove Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, a decorated combat veteran, from the White House's National Security Council, along with his twin brother, who served as an ethics attorney. The president's vengeance against civil servants is disturbing enough, but it occurred alongside an even greater danger that has come into sharper focus this week, the politicization and potential weaponization of the Department of Justice. Trump insists he has the absolute right to direct the actions of the department. His efforts to obstruct investigations into his own misconduct and that of his associates, firing FBI Director James Comey, seeking to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller, and much more, or well documented. And now the president has found his Roy Cohn in Attorney General William Barr, who has shown himself willing to be the president's political fixer and do his bidding at the expense of the department's independence. Now, if you just joined us, that's not me saying that. We are reading a letter, an op-ed, published in the Los Angeles Times on February 21st, written by Representative Adam Schiff. Let's continue. The severity of the threat that our democracy was made plain last week in a succession of troubling actions by the Justice Department. Last Monday, the department recommended that Roger Stone, the president's longtime political advisor and self-proclaimed dirty trickster, be sentenced according to standard federal guidelines for the serious crimes he committed. Mr. Stone was convicted last year on 7 charges related to lying to Congress about his dealings with the president and WikiLeaks, the platform publishing Russian hacked emails beneficial to the Trump campaign, and also witness tampering. Late that same evening, the president tweeted in outrage, calling the recommendation, quote, a miscarriage of justice. The next morning, at Barr's urging, the department reversed course and recommended a more lenient sentence, using language so unusual for the DOJ that it looked like it could have been written by Stone himself. Barr claims he had planned to intervene in the case before reading the president's tweet, but he does not deny his personal involvement. It is exceedingly rare for attorneys general to overrule the sentencing recommendation of their career prosecutors. Doing so in a case involving the president's own wrongdoing may be unprecedented. As a result, the career prosecutors on the case demonstrated something in short supply in the White House, but abundant among public servants: moral courage. One by one, they withdrew from the case, and one resigned altogether. By the end of the week, reports emerged that Barr had ordered the review of other politically sensitive criminal cases, including that of President Trump's former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, who pleaded guilty to lying to federal investigators to cover up the nature of his own interactions with the Russians. This follows yet another Barr-ordered review intended to sow doubt about intelligence community findings that Russia interfered in the 2016 election to help then-candidate Trump, and a nearly successful effort to cover up the whistleblower complaint that ultimately led to Trump's impeachment. These interventions by Barr to benefit the president have profound implications for the rule of law and our democracy. With a willing attorney general and compliant congressional Republicans, Trump is attempting to utilize the instruments of justice for his political benefit, something that would give him immense power to punish and harass his political opponents and protect his friends. We cannot let that succeed. Institutions are only as strong as the people who protect them. Public servants at personal cost stepped forward in the impeachment inquiry and in the wake of the Stone sentencing reversal. Judges have also demonstrated a vital independence from this lawless president. Congress must also do its part through vigorous oversight and also by enacting a new set of reforms to prevent presidential abuses akin to those passed after Watergate. Work on these is already underway. The president has continually taken advantage of the slow judicial review process to delay oversight of his administration. In response, Congress should enact legislation to expedite judicial review of congressional subpoenas, an idea House Republicans favored unanimously under President Obama. There is also a clear need to legislate a stronger firewall between the DOJ and the White House, one secured by more than regulations or norms. One first step was introduced by my fellow House impeachment manager, Hakeem Jeffries, to require logging and disclosure of White House contacts with Department of Justice. But more will be required to prevent an unethical president from initiating or interfering in cases that involve the president's enemies, allies, or family members. Along these lines, I have introduced legislation to constrain the abuse of the pardon power. President Trump has repeatedly dangled pardons to his associates as they face federal criminal investigations. The bill would ensure that in the event the president issues a pardon in a case related to him or his family members, the complete investigative files would be provided to Congress to ensure he could not obtain the corrupt benefit of covering up his own misconduct. Some of these reforms may not become law while Trump remains in office, but that must not stop us from getting started. The future of our democracy depends on it. That was an op-ed penned by Adam Schiff, Democrat of California from Burbank. Folks, I've read that thing probably 10 times, maybe a dozen times, and every time I read it, I just get nauseated. I get sick at my stomach. There are so many parts in it that are untruthful, misrepresentations of facts, denigrating people. It's amazing what Adam Schiff says and what he gets away with saying. Before we do our analysis, we need to take a break. I need to take a break from this. So bear with me, folks. Stick tight. We'll be right back after this for our analysis. We're really going to give you the skinny on that op-ed penned by Representative Adam Schiff. Back after this at Truth News Network.
Classical conservatism, contemporary style. TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Dinner, dinner, dinner. Every day you have to think of what's for dinner. Well, now Subway has a solution that is sure to please every person you have to feed for that last meal of the day. It's called Dinner Tonight. Every day after 4 p.m., Subway is offering a Dinner Tonight special, which includes two regular 6-inch subs, two bags of chips, and two 21-ounce fountain drinks, all for just $11.99. This offer is available all day long on Sundays. Subway of Kodiak. Eat fresh.
TNN, the Truth News Network, wants you
in our army of truth seekers.
Sign up today at truthnewsnet.org and never miss a story or podcast. Truth News Net has been called the most important voice in conservative American politics and is required listening in university classes as far away as Moscow. TNN is heard in every capital on every continent with listeners around the globe. If you're passionate about the truth and are horrified at the turn of world politics, you are not alone. Sign up today and never miss a fact. TNN.
TruthNewsNet.org.
Schiffisms. Today's story is full of Schiffisms. Well, let's get right to our analysis of that letter written by Adam Schiff. It was published in the LA Times. Our record of many of Schiff's historical lies to Americans and at congressional hearings are documented. There will be no rehashing of those previous events and our conclusions then. We know you're familiar with those. We want to honor your time today. But his comments in this Times opinion letter are so outrageous and untruthful, they scream for a truthful response. And I'm going to be brief. First of all, Schiff's accusation is that the president had Vindman removed from the White House and the National Security Council as vengeance for Vindman's testimony before Schiff's committee during the impeachment trial. Schiff left out a couple of facts. Vindman's supervisor had felt and previously reported that Vindman had been secretly leaking information to the press. Now remember, he was a member of the National Security Council, so he's leaking to the press. Sound familiar? Additionally, Vindman verbally proclaimed his disagreement with several of Mr. Trump's foreign policy positions. Vindman was not removed for his testimony. He was removed because of national security information being passed on with no authorization. Schiff hinted that Vindman was fired. He was not fired. Schiff didn't bother to say in his letter that Vindman was simply reassigned to his original post at the Pentagon, from which he was transferred to the White House for a temporary position. Schiff forgot to include any of that information in his letter, or I missed it one. Secondly, here's what he said. And now the president has found his Roy Cohn in Attorney General William Barr, who has shown himself willing to be the president's political fixer and do his bidding at the expense of the department's independence. Schiff accused the AG of being evil, being devious, and willing to do the bidding of his boss, no matter if doing so violated the law. Did Schiff give you an example that explained the logic of that attack on Mr. Barr? Nope. He simply explained it by adding additional unfounded allegations. By any legitimate historical basis, the sentence for Stone, as recommended by those Mueller prosecutors, was outlandish, excessive, unwarranted, and partisan. Remember, those prosecutors were Democrats. They hated Donald Trump and had failed in their attempt to remove him from office. They saw Stone as a way to get even. Schiff said Stone's sentence was a, quote, sentencing reversal. That's a blatant lie. Stone had never been sentenced. There had been no sentencing hearing yet. The 7 to 9 year sentence was merely a recommendation to the judge by those very partisan prosecutors. And such recommendations are often changed by federal judges. In fact, the judge in this case, who is an anti-Trump judge all the way, her name is Amy Berman Jackson, commented that it was unusual for the Department of Justice to take the side of a defendant in a trial that their department prosecuted, especially to request easier sentencing. But she concurred that the final Stone sentence of 34 to 40 months was historically much more realistic and appropriate than was the original 7 to 9 years. Schiff forgot to include that in his letter, didn't he? Of course he did. Adam Schiff blasted Attorney General Barr's authorization for the examination of the Michael Flynn case. Remember, that was when Flynn was pretty much forced to plead guilty to lying to keep his son out of prison. And of course, Adam didn't mention that. He also failed to mention that in the Flynn case, Flynn's attorney has petitioned the court to allow the withdrawal of his guilty plea and also for a new trial. Schiff claimed that in these interventions, he termed, Barr was doing so, quote, to benefit the president and have profound implications for the rule of law and our democracy. Folks, for the life of me, I cannot understand how Barr's actions could possibly be viewed in that light. Barr, like millions of Americans, feels the Mueller investigation was tainted, and he stated that in his congressional testimony, did Mr. Barr, during his Senate confirmation hearing. Facts uncovered so far confirm that, too. Barr cannot change anything already done in the courts, but he, as would any other attorney general, would make certain there was equal justice under the law for all those caught up in the partisan battle by the left to unseat this president. If there was no wrongdoing there, Barr will not do anything. He won't find anything. That's all reasonable. You know what that is? That's equal justice under the law, something that Schiff doesn't like if it's against a conservative, a Republican, or Donald Trump. And of course, none of this we just told you was included in Schiff's letter published in the Los Angeles Times. Schiff declared that Congress intends to put serious restrictions even on just the contact between the White House and the DOJ, even demanding that a log is kept recording every such contact. The audacity of Schiff's claim, and his fellow Congressman Hakeem Jeffries for drafting legislation to do just that, is mind-boggling. They, in doing this, if they were to be successful, and in no way will they, it would subvert the separation of powers mandated in the Constitution. They both must feel the Department of Justice is part of the judiciary, that third co-equal branch of government. It's not. It's part of the executive branch. And who runs the executive branch? Literally. President Trump heads the executive branch and therefore has all constitutional authority over the DOJ. Schiff nor any other member of Congress has any authority to take any actions to change that structure. It would take a constitutional amendment. Congress has no authority to tell members of the executive or the judiciary branches of government what to do. Schiff forgot to include that information in his letter. That's enough of my sentence-by-sentence analysis of Mr. Schiff's letter. My blood boiled when I read it. Every time I read it. You can better analyze it than can I, because I can't be objective when I do it. The content of his letter, as egregious as it is, does not surprise me at all. Americans, well, we've all learned this warped justice perception is the justice system in which Mr. Schiff functions himself. Have you ever speculated as to the source of his alternate perception of the rule of law? What is the basis on which he's developed such factless political positions regarding legislation? Well, just a little quick history before we go away. He represents the 28th California Congressional District. Now, included in that are West Hollywood, Burbank, parts of Pasadena, Glendale, the Verdugo Hills, communities of Sunland and Tujinga, as well as parts of central L.A., including Hollywood, the Hollywood Hills, Echo Park, Silver Lake, and Los Feliz. As it includes Glendale and Little Armenia, it has the largest Armenian-American population of any district in the country. The district also includes two of Southern California's more significant gay enclaves, West Hollywood and Silver Lake. Knowing his district's geographical coverage explains a bit of the acceptance by his constituents of his mostly far-left political ideals. The majority of citizens in his district embrace a left-leaning political perspective. His certainly confirms the reality of his quest for a much larger, much more powerful, and much more controlling federal government. Reading his comments in his letter that Congress needs to take more control of the executive branch of government in spite of the constitutional separation of power reveals his hunger and quest for more power than he has now as a congressman. You know, I'll wrap this up by saying this. Schiff is not alone in his power grab agenda. Those on the far left and many in the middle of the Democrat Party agree, in the most part, with Adam Schiff. Their philosophy is simple. This is their heart. This is what they think. This is what they live out in their legislative work. Give our government the power to rule all parts of the lives of Americans. We can do better for them than they can do for themselves. And Schiff certainly feels he's the best to put such a government together, no doubt about it. He also feels conservative Americans are nothing more than just a necessary evil. He'd prefer there to be no conservatives at all, so as to not mess with the top-down government utopian vision that he holds for the United States. How many others share those feelings? Sadly, probably more than we can even imagine. Representative Schiff and many other Democrats still function politically as if they have no concern for the truth, nor what the majority of Americans feel or think. I've argued with many who feel that Adam Schiff is evil, that he purposely misleads in most, if not all, of his communications with voters. I'm no longer in the disagreement mode, folks, in that regard. I always give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if he's evil. I don't know his heart. But as we were taught in the Bible, quote, out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. If that's true, and I promise you, I've got my hand in the air now, it's true. If it is true, and it is, Adam Schiff hates conservatism, and he hates conservatives. He's made a conscious decision that his lies are okay, because, after all, it's him, Adam, speaking them. He certainly feels like political expediency, as he defines it, is the only way Washington should run. Now, my belief in those things about him are based on Scripture, the ones we just shared with you. The following, based totally on my personal opinion. Adam Schiff has his eyes on a larger, more important role in Washington. I'll bet you. I'm certain he thinks often about even becoming a U.S. Senator for California. Two on his plate are wishes for the office of U.S. Attorney General, and someday even 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I have news for Mr. Schiff. I have faith in the American people, far more faith than what I have in him. I'm pretty sure that most Americans now feel the same way I do. I have no pulse of the feelings of Californians from his congressional district or the remainder of California voters, but I think I have more of an unbiased opinion of them than does Adam himself. I trust that as CNN and MSNBC give him more airtime, the LA Times publishes more of his op-eds, and more of his committee hearings are televised, more Americans will catch on. They'll see for themselves how narcissistic he is and how little he feels for them, for you, for me. He's destined to go back to private law practice. That's my personal prediction. But wait a minute. Don't you think he'd make a perfect California governor? I actually think he's overqualified for that position. Little tongue-in-cheek there to end it. And that is the end. Hopefully it's the end of all the noise that we keep hearing as Mr. Schiff keeps trying to take control of everything in Washington, D.C. Have a great weekend. And don't forget, tomorrow, our bullet points right here, we'll do a podcast too. We're going to break down the Democrat Party, their final debate that happened earlier this week. There were six of them on the stage. Very interesting stuff. Now, if you watched or if you listened to it, you couldn't understand anything that was going on. They hollered over each other. It was really, really tough to follow. I followed it for you. We'll put it in summary bullet format for you tomorrow. Don't miss it. We'll see you then at Truth News Network. Thanks for being here. TruthNewsNet.org.
Classical conservatism, contemporary style.
TNN, the Truth News Network.